Welcome back to Mike and Maurice's Mind Escape. Let us help you escape your mind.
Folks, welcome back to Mike and Maurice's Mind Escape. We have episode number 227 today. We're going to be discussing UAPs and NDEs with Dr. Bob Davis. I have the link to his website down below. He is an author, a scientist, a speaker. So go check that out, but we'll get into that in a second. Before we get started, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/mindescapepodcast. For just $2 a month, you'll get exclusive guest episodes and segments. We're going to try and maybe fit one in here with Bob later on tonight, or today, I should say. And so go check that out. I just uploaded one with Daniel McQueen. There's a ton of them up there. Rick Strassman. There's a ton of them up there that I've uploaded recently. So go check that out. Also, head on over to IndrasWeb.org. This is the social media platform we created to connect open minds. So whether you want to speculate, hypothesize, theorize, head on over there, set up a profile. We are still working on getting that in the App Store. If you're interested in this Mind Escape t-shirt, we only have two sizes left, large and medium, but if you would like to enter to win a free one, all you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review, take a screenshot of it, and send it to mindescapepodcast@gmail.com. That will enter you to win. Also, go check out our new merch store, and I have the link down below. Without further ado, welcome on the show, Bob.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
So you are, let's see here. I was going to do a little spiel for you here. You are an internationally recognized research scientist and author. You've taught at the State University of New York for over 30 years. Your recent research publications consist of the science and the subjective human experience and consciousness. And you have three books titled Unseen Forces, Life After Death, and the UFO Phenomenon. So today, I really wanted to kind of talk about UFOs, UAPs, consciousness, and NDEs. But let's start with UFOs, UAP, because you do have a documentary in the works. The trailer looks amazing. Excited to see that. So what got you into that topic specifically?
I've always been a closet ufologist ever since growing up in the 60s and 70s. It's difficult not to be very interested in space. Obviously, with the race to the moon, we were all enamored by that. And then, of course, with the science fiction genre of the times and the movies about UFOs, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, it turned people on. It lit people up to this extraordinary phenomenon that we are all familiar with, and even to this day, we're still more than curious about it. After I saw, however, in 2012, two orange orbs in the night sky in Sedona, Arizona, with my wife while walking one evening, I was lit. I wasn't sure what that was, but it caused me to write my first book, The UFO Phenomenon, Should I Believe? And ever since then, I became very much more involved with that subject matter. I even was a member of the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Research Foundation, where we published a paper on over 3,200 individuals who claimed to interact with the phenomena and non-human intelligences of varying types. And we realized it was largely a non-physical phenomenon. The vast majority of 3,200 people report it like an OBE, like their consciousness moving out of the body, interacting with some matrix in a different time and space. And that was published by the Journal of Scientific Exploration again. We're very proud of that. Nevertheless, it's a physical phenomena and a non-physical phenomena, but I can't help shake it, like you gentlemen and all of us. We're very much interested in the phenomena. I think we'll always will be.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And actually, I had my first orb sighting with my father about a year. Was it a year ago? Maybe two. I think it was 2 years ago at this point. Before that, I'd never really seen anything other than being in like northern Michigan and seeing, you know, satellites and crazy, you know, amazing stars and meteorites, things like that. But yeah, I saw an orb with my father, and we just thought it was so bizarre. And I tried not to mythologize it or say it was this or that. It was just a really weird experience. So I definitely can identify with you on that. But before that, the only weird experiences I had were mystical psychedelic experiences and things of that nature, maybe with some entities and weird things in that realm. But I had never seen anything in physical day-to-day consciousness till that point. When you had your sighting, is that kind of what was like a paradigm shift or a catalyst for you, or were you already kind of thinking about that kind of stuff?
Well, I was very much involved from a consumer standpoint, in the sense that I read many books on the topic.
Right.
But after seeing it, the cork comes out of the bottle just a little bit. And that's what people say. Anytime we experience something quite extraordinary, like a UAP of varying kinds, so whether it's a physical craft in broad daylight, that saucer-shaped, silvery type of thing that people describe, or type of orbs in the night sky, or it could be grays in their bedroom. You know, right. The phenomenon manifests in so many different ways. We don't even know what we're talking about, essentially, really. But other than it's such an unexplained, enigmatic, ineffable experience that when people have it, the cork is out of the bottle. Literally, they're lit. They're fiercely determined to figure out what it's about. Why did it happen to me? What was this interaction about? Sometimes less pronounced than others. You know, I've talked to people, they say, a gray touched me. Okay, a gray, what am I supposed to do with that? I'm a scientist, right? A gray touched me. And they're more saying than me. Maybe that's not saying very much, but
right.
I get these kind of reports, and you hear these all the time. What is going on? Are they seeing a different world or seeing this world differently? And that was the basis of my last book, Unseen Forces, The Integration of Science, Reality, and You.
Right.
And that's the basis of the documentary I'm working on with Dave Beatty of Dreamtime Entertainment at consciousnessfilm.info. And that's the essence of the issue here. People are essentially being lit. Let's call it that, for lack of a better term. It's a new journey where you kind of sense a little ego dissolution. You realize there's something more. Reality is much more complex than you ever thought before. And when you interact with something significant, whether it's a UAP, in whatever manifestation it may appear, a near-death experience, out of body experience, a psychoactive effect like you're talking about, and you interact with a different time and space, possibly other entities, whether deceased relatives, supreme beings, or reptilians and grays, so whatever it might be, it may be all one of the same, or all completely independent types of issues that people are dealing with and struggling with. Because the obvious questions are, what is it all about? And with fierce determination, great passion, people are trying to figure out intellectually and emotionally, what is this? How do I deal with it? How do I talk about it? But I get a sense of greater awareness, don't you see? There's a positive and a negative. Many anxiety-provoking questions emerge, understandably, but it wakes people up a little bit. It gives them that sense of what? I'm interconnected with my environment, my reality, like never before. I'm a little bit more aware, possibly, of other things that may exist in reality that people have never been certain about. Even science doesn't address it. Newtonian physics doesn't answer the kinds of questions that people are asking when they have these kinds of experiences where they question themselves, reality, life, and everything in between. But they're changed. You see, there's a transpersonal effect that occurs here. Whatever it is, anything extraordinarily exotic, anything extremely out of the norm, and it comes in all different ways, shapes, sizes. So UAP is just one example. We don't know how to deal with these people. And that's the issue at hand too, because they're in need of some assistance, answers that we can't provide with any degree of certainty.
So within these communities, the UFO, UAP Twitter, and social media and stuff, you have people that consider themselves like, the nuts and bolts people, or versus the consciousness people. And then you have people that believe in both or all possibilities. My whole take has always been the whole thing is consciousness based. We are we're measuring and viewing the world through our consciousness. So by that definition, it's all consciousness based. There is no nuts and bolts because it's still being filtered through our consciousness. I don't know how you feel about that, but yeah, there seems to be people that just take like the military account seriously and not necessarily like experiencers. And then there's the experiencers who have really very real experiences to them, but it gets discounted because of old, dogma and stuff like that. So, I mean, what's your take on that whole dichotomy?
Yeah, there's no question a consciousness component to it. We have a brain, we filter physical information, and we put a layer of subjective interpretation, impressions on that. It's all the more complex because we are changed by the interaction. It's a physical event, that seems to be no doubt about that. Evidence is clearly indicating that. We don't need to go into detail of its physicality, on radar and observation, landing traces, physical effects on individuals. But what is often under-recognized and not emphasized enough is what Vallée and Hynek and only a few others, Cameron now, among a few others, who consider it to be a largely consciousness-based phenomenon. And what that means is mysterious in and of itself, because we don't even have a definition of what consciousness is. And it could simply reflect a cosmic consciousness, this interaction or interrelatedness among all of us. And we're just one little piece of billions of individual conscious entities that are interacting, interrelating, and in a sense, trying to figure out what's going on here. There's a consciousness component because, yeah, people are changed, they're transformed as a result of these interactions, and they become more sympathetic and empathetic, less interested in organized religion, less materialistic, more spiritual, more caring, loving, become more humane in some respects. And the question is why? And that might be maybe an innate, instinctual, biologic, brain-based reaction to any kind of extraordinary event that we can't understand, that kind of makes us step back and say, what's going on? I experienced something real. I know that. And I can't explain it. And it's knocking my socks off. And I'm having great difficulty integrating it. We all do in some ways. And that's why the conscious component is, of course, there. It's interrelated with the physical. There's no doubt about it. Unfortunately, we don't have science to support us in our questions that are normally asked when we have this. People go to these CE5s trying to call down these unidentified aerial phenomena, trying to use conscious intent, mental intent to interact with varying degrees of success. I've been going to Mike Merberg's beautiful CE5 up in Darby Ranch, north of Tampa, and beautiful people just getting together and of like-minded souls and interrelating their consciousnesses in a sense, trying to attract something. Is it an intelligence of some type that coexists here? We can only speculate, obviously, from another planet dimension. I don't even want to go to these different theories. We can only speculate, obviously, but it's real, and that's the key. It's a real phenomenon, and that is not a question anymore, I don't think. We see evidence of reports from the government and Navy, etc., acknowledging it for whatever that's worth. And I'm not going to go there.
Sure.
That's not my shtick. It's important. We have to look at that, the history and the physical aspects of it, and what is going on now, geopolitically, as it pertains to phenomena. More importantly, why are these people having doing these collective CE5, CE6s, even whatever you want to call it? And why am I doing a documentary on consciousness that incorporates many experts in all fields of neuroscience and parapsychology? I can go on and on. Near-death experiences, UAPs, and then some. trying to figure out that component of consciousness, how it ties into the UAP as well. And Valet, for instance, will talk about a control system, an intelligence that, for whatever reason, is exerting influence on humankind, maybe to evolve us spiritually. We hear these stories all the time. I don't want to kind of rehash all of this, but it's hard not to. You could easily come to that conclusion that our consciousness collectively is being elevated. We see historically how the phenomenon has morphed in terms of individual entities from the angels and gnomes and elves and Lilliputians, etc., of the past to, I don't know, today's grays, energy beings, reptilians. It may be the same phenomenon, different suit, as people like to call it. Maybe it forces us to look a little ahead of the times, to get a glimpse of what can be in terms of human potential, science, and spoon feeds us a little bit. Interesting to speculate. It's fun. It's a business, unfortunately, but it's a pseudoscience too, because it can't be explained under Newtonian physics, and that's why we look. People often look to quantum mechanics theories within it as a means to possibly try to give us some degree of credibility, or I should say maybe a understanding of what may be going on in terms of explaining extra dimensions. Is that a possibility that these things coexist in another time and space? Well, quantum mechanics says it's possible, so maybe that's the answer. Maybe not. But we look for other alternative answers because the current paradigm we operate under, it's not going to provide the answer. It's not designed to, and we can't look to it. So we're in a little cusp here. It's a very frustrating position. We know the phenomenon exists. It's impacting millions in varying ways. People are doing even psychoactive drugs all the time now, mm-hmm. and having these kind of peak experience where they gain insight, greater awareness. And they benefit, as people report, from all of these kinds of experiences. The peak experience, and that, again, consciousnessfilm.info is what the documentary is about. UAP is a branch of a tree. What's the trunk? Maybe it is consciousness. Maybe the universe is consciousness. Many leading scientists ascribe to that. We even have Tom Campbell, for instance, author of Theory of Everything, My Big Toe. He ascribes to the simulated virtual reality model of reality and consciousness. I mean, and many ascribe to that belief. There is what? I don't know, but somebody else, you know, working in a Commander 64 game, and we're part of the players. Are we in cyberspace? You know, I mean, I'm hesitant to even go there because it is such odds with my left brain trained educational mindset, because all of this causes my right brain to struggle with it. It's not logical. You know, these experts are telling me this is a simulated reality. Maybe it is. Or these experts are telling me, you know, there's another coexisting dimension. Maybe there is. All of these theories, or maybe this projections of other consciousnesses at light years away that are capable of projecting themselves here and interacting with people's consciousness. I mean, that's a possibility too. So you can come up with numerous explanations that can't be proved or disproved. And so we're kind of like in the driver's seat, throwing out these ideas, hoping to hit on a home run in some way, but we'll never support it unless we have the adopted uniform principles accepted on our planet, you know, as principles and theories of science that can be applied to understanding reality. People are experiencing, however, an alternate reality. And that's the enigma right there.
So I had kind of a hypothesis, that, I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm not going to die on that hill, but I do have an interesting thought. I did write a blog about it a while ago on our website, but, you know, we mythologize everything as human beings. And when we don't understand some sort of physical phenomena, whatever it may be, And I just look to, like, we've gone deep on the Greeks, ancient Greeks and the Greek gods and, you know, the architecture, the megalithic structures, the mythology, the Eleusinian mysteries, all that kind of stuff. So my thought is this our modern day Greek gods or god pantheon? And it's not to say that something isn't real that's happening. It's just that we don't have the language or the mental capacity to quantify it at this point. Do you think that that's a possibility and that's what we're experiencing, something along those lines?
I think so. I think the so-called cavemen were experiencing something like that, that they tried to depict on cave walls, you know, well, 40, 50,000 years ago. I think there was some level of interaction that's appropriate for the times, whether it's during the times of the pyramidal structures in Egypt that defy explanation of, in and of itself. But the point is this: we need to adopt what the understanding of historic cultures who interacted with the phenomenon, even you know, Indians in the Southwest. I've heard lectures by shaman and by leaders of tribes out of the Southwest today that make more sense to me than any, you know, noted authority in ufology about the phenomenon. The point is, there's a historic rich aspect to this where people do report in varying cultures over time this kind of consciousness like interaction effect that's purposeful and beneficial in varying ways for the people of the time. And you see the aspect of innovative technologies in the 20th century has just widened that gap between spirituality, our desire to become more aware, to understand life and reality, introspection. We lost that because of, in some ways we lost that because of technology. And for a lot of reasons, and media and business, it draws us more into the material as opposed to the non-material. So the gap widens. And now I think, however, that gap may be closing a little bit, because more people are having near-death experiences with life-sustaining advanced techniques which return people from the brink of death, and even from brain death, flat EEG, and they experience the NDE in all its enigmatic ways. And they're changed from that. The point is, as more people are waking up through UAP encounters, and the media does help that. Social networking, the things you gentlemen are doing is wonderful. Right. That does help elevate awareness in our technological society. That's one way technology helps with this social networking interaction. It is raising consciousness in some ways, making us more aware of phenomena that science can't explain. And boy, there's a long, wide dynamic range of that.
Right.
As people are becoming more aware, this gap may be narrowing. I don't know. I'm not a sociologist. It's hard to quantify. The thing is, we need to integrate the two, of course, the physical with the subjective. Narrow that gap. It's easy to say. So that what? I don't know. We don't suffer the ills of modern society and the materialist aspect of nature. You see, we've evolved in beautiful ways and de-evolved in many ways. Evolved technologically and de-evolved spiritually. Our understanding of life and ourselves, trying to and relax, de-stress. We don't do that like we should. Develop ESP techniques like we should. And ESP is real. But what do we do with it? We should be cultivating these kinds of mental intention skills that do exist. And we can go there. I can talk about the brain and current research. And it seems that ESP may be coded for in the brain in the chordate putamen. Dr. Nolan well-known immunologist, geneticist, who's also in our documentary, has discovered that enhanced connectivity in an aspect of the brain that's unique to those who have psychic abilities and experiences. Well, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? Maybe the brain is geared for ESP, but we ignore that, you see. We ignore the human potential, the potential possibility of the brain and consciousness, as you mentioned. And maybe we can better enhance our ability to heal ourselves through intention. And we have evidence of that, not only through meditating, which is obviously helpful in over 80% of disorders and diseases, let alone, unfortunately, less than 5% of physicians recommend that people, you know, reduce their stress or meditate, which right. is ignorant to begin with. I can't even go down that road. So, you know, look at society, it's easy to get depressed. Besides COVID and the nightmare that people, we all are experiencing as a result of that, aside from that, the other layers of media and business and materialism is just masking, inhibiting our ability to perceive alternate realities that could potentially provide us with answers to the nature of reality and consciousness, to study it more subjectively, experimentally, in all its forms, and UAP is just one way to do that. But we can get at aspects of consciousness through the UAP, because how many millions of people are claiming to interact with it and suffering right. as a result of it? You know, but we find through the survey study that we published in the Journal of Scientific Exploration, the more times people interact, the more positive the outcome is in terms of their psycho-spiritual belief systems, perspectives on life, death, love, everything in between. It dramatic changes in their philosophies that's long-lasting, and they integrate it after a dark night of the soul, so to speak, of anxiety and questioning what happened to me, of course. But you know, we can go on and on with this. It's fun to do so. It's also frustrating because I wish I had answers to provide. Right. You to me too, you see? So we throw it out there for what it's worth. And we're scratching the surface, yeah. but we're in the right direction. We are.
Part of that blog I did put in there, though, like, do you think that this could be something, this idea, like, of this could be helping our consciousness along, meaning that people that once believed in religions, you know, same thing. It's almost like what evolution selects for is this idea of belief in something higher, and it pushes humanity along. Almost like, is something dangling the carrot for us, or are we dangling the carrot in front of ourselves? And if we're dangling it in front of ourselves, what does that mean? I think about that all the time. Is this something that we're doing to ourselves, or is this something that's external?
We don't know, but that is the isn't that the issue at hand?
Right.
That's it. Yeah. Maybe both. I'd like to think we integrate, you know, it's us and them, and try to come to a place where we're balanced, and maybe that's thousands of years from now, where we can utilize external energy, consciousness, and integrate it with the subjective sense and to our benefit, whatever that means, you know? Right. Look, we do have a good chance. It's a good chance we do have some degree of innate spirituality. And people, and some neuroscientists like to look for that spiritual or God neuron. And if you say God in my ear, or, you know, God is all there is and God is love, and while we're recording brain activity, MRI, GEGs, some neuroscientists say, well, you know what? Every time I say God, I see an area in the brain light up, the ipsilateral parietal lobe. Okay. All right. Maybe there's a God spot as a result. Maybe we're born to want to believe in something, to your question, which is right on. Mm-hmm. And if so, great. Spirituality could be a natural manifestation of brain function. But and people go to religion, and people go to UAP. I think it's the same thing. You know,
Right.
you could have both.
Yeah.
One, it's a, you know, I don't know what religion is, but it's a belief system, like-minded souls, organized, non-organized, whatever, good, bad, you know, varied opinions. But look how many millions of people. I'm amazed, really. The interest is accumulating. I think more people are leaving the church for UFOs.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Or getting involved. I mean
it. A UFO UAP of the gap instead of God of the gap transition happening. Not that there's not something real there, but again, it's something like when people were looking for God, or some people might have found God through entheogens or meditation or near-death experiences back in the day. People are, you know, like I said about the, like the Greek myths, like this is the more modern version of that. Like we have to keep updating our
You're
software.
Right. Yeah. Rudy Shield, on that note, Rudy Shield, a friend of mine, leading astrophysicist, worked for decades at the Harvard Smithsonian Laboratory. He says to me, Bob, you know what a black hole is? No, you tell me, Rudy, you're the astrophysicist. I'm not. He says, it's a neuron of God's brain. Okay.
I like it.
What am I supposed to do with that, right? Rudy Shield. He actually disproved Stephen Hawking wrong on a concept of a black hole, and Stephen Hawking admitted it publicly. It's that's real. You know, so he's at that level. Doesn't mean he's right or wrong, but he's
right.
A brilliant guy. So Bob, it's a you know, okay. And then he says, you know what these UAPs are? They're quantum amplifiers. Quantum amplifiers. They're intelligent. Quantum, okay, and they interact with the quantum processes externally, maybe a torsion force, biophoton. I can get into that and bore everybody to death, but these theories exist, okay? Torsion energy, spin force, everything spins, electrons, planets, right? Everything spins, but that spinning force may also interact with an aspect of brain function. In fact, when you take the brain and you kind of move it like this, where you have the spinal column and you got to have a 3D image of the brain, but and you hold it like that, it looks like a torsion or a torus where it can collect spinning force and it'll be channeled down into the spinal column. You know, the point is you can make a case for the chakra system, energy flowing up into you know where I'm going. Okay,
right.
I mean, a lot of the scientists, from the cosmologists down to the particle physicists, are going there because they're looking at quantum processes in the DNA and cellular structures of the brain, and they're looking at those similar kind of quantum processes external to the brain, right?
Right.
And then if you look at, you know, law of entanglement and superposition, on and on with these theories that exist out there, controversial. But many are proven to be true. You can make the case. You know, take it another step forward. Well, there could be interaction. There's no space-time and inhibition in a sense. They will interact internally, externally. What does that mean? What does
right.
it mean? Black holes in there on God's brain. The universe is conscious. We're all interconnected. What does it mean? Meaning that when people say, here's another example. Dr. Diane Hennessy-Powell, she's a neuroscientist, neuropsychiatrist, leading researcher, a good friend of mine. She's in our documentary, The Consciousness Connection. She's done a lot of research with autistic savants, individuals who are disabled in many ways, but they have unique skills, right? In music, in math, etc., that clearly can't be explained. She says to me, Bob, well, she wrote a book, The ESP Enigma, and she talks about one of her subjects, Haley, 8-year-old. Point is, Haley, you know, what shape is on the car that I see that you can't? What's the number? What's the color? About it being 80-90% accurate. Okay. Right. Double, triple blinded, 80% accurate. She has another 4-year-old. She says, a few weeks ago, she was talking to Dave Bay, a co-producer from Dreamtime Entertainment. And she says, Bob, I have a 4-year-old who speaks 6 languages.
Wow.
Was she ever exposed to these languages? No. Okay. What am I supposed to do with that? You see, I studied the brain. I know a little bit about what am I supposed to do with that? It's like, Bob, a great touch me. And these are same people,
right?
Brilliant people who are telling me this. You know, I've had some unique experiences, not like that, but the brain, you can't You can't figure that one out. What's a cube root? A 6-year-old, she said. A cube root, you know what I'm saying. A cube root of 4,823. She gives you the answer, to the sixth decimal point. Another autistic savant. The point is, could that be the brain, or is it accessing an information field? That's where I'm going here. Is it accessing an external, getting to your point, an external information field that many people do ascribe to, that semantic field, the Akashic Record, as it's sometimes called.
Yeah.
And mediums will be, many mediums, not all, the vast majority are not accurate, but there are a select few or remarkably accurate who can be, interact, as they claim, with the deceased, etc.
I was going to say, I'm
And
highly skeptical of that aspect. And not that it's, again, we've talked about this before. We've talked about your Edgar Cayces and your, people like
there have
Rudolf
been some
Steiner,
proven guys out there,
yeah,
obviously.
clairvoyant type people. But at the same time, a lot of them, I feel like, prey on people because of their, like, if, even for instance, if you go on like Facebook and some of these groups, like, the near-death experience ones, people will take pictures and it'll be like a photo, and there'll be like an artifact in there. Well, Maurice is a professional photographer. He could easily describe what this effect is and why it's happening. But some people will be like, oh, that's this person. And then you'll see people like, DM me. I'm a psychic. I can help you, things like that. So it's like stuff like that is where I become skeptical of that. And I'm not saying that there's not people that have these unique abilities. I'm saying that there's the waters are muddy because of snake oil,
You're
salesmen
exactly
and
right.
charlatans,
You're exactly right. And that's unfortunate. But it's unfortunate you're right on. I would say 98%. You should not pay any money to for any fortune telling or whatever.
Right.
However, I look at the work of Dr. Julie Bichel at the Wimbridge Institute. She has published several papers with mediums. Claim mediums, but also mediums who were trained using certain types of techniques I'm not that familiar with. But in her quadruple blinded studies, where she makes sure from a scientific methodological perspective, there's no way that person could get this information, she's tested several mediums, five, six, seven, I would think, in these studies, and over 90% accuracy. With 90% accuracy. So I have to, I agree with you, but then you have those that kind of publication in a reputable
Right.
journal. Not that it's means, I don't know what it means, but it gets my attention. It does. Emphasizing what? Well, the work that Dean Radin did,
Yeah,
among
Dean
others.
Radin,
He
Rupert Sheldrake.
and he exactly.
Yeah.
Dean Radin's in our documentary, a leading scientist of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and I talked to him about a month ago. And Bob, ESP is real. I put it out blank to him. I know it's real. I know the statistics. It's a subtle effect. It doesn't mean I can read your mind, other than keen insight and all that. But if you think of a number, it doesn't mean I know the number. ESP doesn't manifest all the time, most of the time, that way. It's statistical. It's subtle, but it's real. Okay.
Right.
Again, we bore you with all the details. It's in my books, but you have to get into the literature, read the research to understand its validity, you see, and people don't. And nor should they really, unless they're interested in ESP. Then you got to look at that kind of work and you'll realize. And it's not easy to find it because you have to understand science a little bit, you see. So the average, the general public is not going to get that kind of information. And that's what's unfortunate. There's too much crap on TV, in other words, and not enough emphasizing these kinds of findings from reputable scientists that can contribute something to awareness, to our knowledge and understanding of maybe what else exists out there that we
Right.
do not have answers for. And occasionally you'll see that in some paranormal shows, but it's infrequent and unfortunately. And you have, dumb it down TV
Right.
99% of the time,
Yeah.
including the news. It really is very depressing, and to the point where I don't watch, other than sports, which I love, I don't watch TV and
Yeah.
Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, I've
I'm
been watching
serious.
those.
I'm serious. It's the wrong way to go.
Yeah, I
It's
only watch
counterproductive.
hockey games and yeah, I guess documentaries. That's pretty much
It's
that's
listening
all I
to
watch.
dudes like you. It's listening. I'm sorry, but it's listening to light workers like yourselves. You know, I don't know what you do the rest of the day. I think you're blessed individuals. You're light workers. Look what you're doing. Why are you doing it? And it's beautiful what you're doing. I think people should understand. You know, you're doing it, you know, more for others than yourself. But you're doing it for yourself too because you want to explore more. You learn more from talking to dudes like me and everybody talks. Yeah. I learn from you. I'm enjoying this conversation. You see, I'm enjoying this conversation, and we're both benefiting from it in terms of how I feel. I love doing this. We're on the same page. We don't agree on everything, but your audience too is resonating with it, agreeing with it, and disagreeing with something. That's great.
I think it's important to talk to people you don't.
It's critical. Yeah, that's part of the paradigm shift. You have to understand the importance of just that. You're part of that paradigm shift, but it's very slow. Darwinism, Copernic, you know, we're moving into quantum mechanics and all that. What you're doing, you're taking advantage of social networking, not to play a casino, 24/7, or to gamble or do other bullshit, but to what? What do you do? What are you really doing? What am I doing? Why am I doing a documentary with Dave Beatty called The Consciousness Connection? I'm telling everybody, go to consciousnessfilm.info. If you can support it, beautiful. If you resonated with it, get 50 cents, a dollar, $1 million. Find the guy who's going to pass away like in 6 months with a terminal disease, has $20 million, right? And doesn't know what to do with it. Tell him to come to, consciousness. Why am I doing that? Obviously, we need money to make the documentary go, but why am I doing it? Why are you doing it? You say, why are you even supporting me doing it? You know, because you know we need to do it. There's a reason. And you see, that's nebulous, isn't it? It gets very esoteric, and I hate to kind of be that way, but maybe that's part of consciousness. Maybe that's spirituality. Searching for the truth, searching for answers that we don't have. And it takes us down the road of UAPs and NDEs where altered consciousness states are experienced similar. They're similar, even with psychoactive drugs, no time, no space. I see entities. We know the story. Even blind people who have a near-death experience, they see what? Ask them what they see. They have a visual sense. Blind from birth. I know Jeff Long, he's going to be founder of the Near Death Experience Research Foundation. Beautiful soul. A friend of mine, he's in the documentary. And he talks about, for decades he's been talking about it. He told me the other day, a few weeks ago, blind people have vertical perception. They have objective awareness. But they see what? 360. And if you tell a blind person after their NDE, that, you know what, people who aren't blind really just see pie-shaped, right? And just 180 degrees, they don't believe it. Because, you know, what does that mean? Because we see that's what people say. You know, they go up on board a UAP and there's a graze and see 360, it's a holographic image, no past, no present, there's no time, all of that. Why the similarity, you see, among all of these kinds of experiences? That's what really turns me on. It suggests that the brain sort of may inhibit our ability to perceive true awareness. It's a possibility. I'm not unique in presenting that idea. William James, back in the early 1900s, considered the father of psychology.
Psychology, yeah.
Yeah, and he said that a long time ago. He could be right on. Because why? You minimize the brain's influence through a biologic death-like event in the form of an NDE or maybe a modification into a default mode due to a DMT or psilocybin, shrooms, whatever, or meditation, where you quiet the mind sufficiently enough to where you minimize its potential influence, and then the 3D world of central nervous system, neuroelectric activity diminishes, possibly to the point where you're now, what, free?
Yeah.
You now have true reality?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we've had so many, we've done probably 50, 60, we've probably done maybe even more psychedelic episodes with scientists and psychonauts and experiencers. And I would say that from talking to everybody, I've come to the conclusion that what psychedelics or psychoactive compounds do is remove the built-in pareidolia, the evolutionary pareidolia that we've over the years built up to recognize patterns and shapes and everything to evolve and survive. And like you just hit it on the head, where when you go into those experiences, you're removing those, the chains of that pareidolia, and you can now see more of what actual reality might be like, if that makes sense.
It certainly does. And I have to refer to David Luke, if you want to call him a leading authority, I think you might say for good reason, and on the effects of psychedelic compounds on the mind. He's not alone, but he's a major player. I have a lot of respect for him. He's in the documentary.
Okay.
And in talking with him, he's written a magnificent paper, and I do forget the journal that it's in. I encourage people to look for his review of the literature on psychoactive agents. Very comprehensive, extraordinarily interesting. But you are likely familiar with it. You know, I forget the exact numbers, but 50% say they interact with varying kinds of beings,
right,
and have similarities to near-death experiences and out-of-body experience, a whole bit. And it's compelling enough to look. You may be familiar with this, and I believe we may be running out of time. But
no, we're okay. I mean, it's all based on your time, sir.
Well, thank you. You're very kind of you. Can we take a few hours? Then you think there'll be any audience left?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's go for another 15-20 minutes. We can do a short Patreon segment with you if you want to, and then we can get to the other business we were going to get to after.
Yeah, so. I don't have to go to the bathroom yet, so we're good. Okay, okay. Buddy. A recent article, a medical journal by researchers at Johns Hopkins University, whereby they administered microdoses of psilocybin to, and I forget the exact number, something like 100 individuals, half of whom were atheists. They completed a survey before and after the administration of the psilocybin. About half of those who claimed to be atheists, and I forget the number, but about half of them, which is a lot, now believed in a supreme being. Now, okay, let's think about that for a second. I mean, seriously, they now believe in the supreme being. Now, the point is this. If an external agent, like a drug, can alter one's perspective on something so profound as that, for whatever reason, maybe they interacted with that supreme being, right, or they had a sense of knowingness, you know? Come on. Let alone these other altered states of consciousness that people perceive to be as real as can be, like a near-death, out-of-body, all that.
Right.
And the thing is, it does have these kinds of pronounced effects. That's where I'm coming from. Why? And can Merck, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, whomever, make a pill, you know, to simulate that,
right?
Not so that we benefit by it, if at all possible. We'll get there. To cause that ego dissolution, I think, is really critical. And I think a lot of these kinds of experiences do just that, as I mentioned earlier, that ego dissolution, where, again, we're not the center of the universe. For some reason, that might be just a natural reflection of activity, maybe in the caudate nucleus of the brain, that is somehow activated. Maybe it's DMT from the pineal gland. You know, we can go there. Right? There are different theories.
Right.
The DMT, or maybe you're enhancing.
Well, the studies out of Ann Arbor show that DMT is actually created in the entire brain, and they actually found it in spinal fluid as well. And there's some even new theories that suggest that there's an neuronal agonist system where everything is filtered through DMT. Like, all other psychedelics actually get, you know, play off that receptor. And as far as what you're saying, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And like I said, I mean, you were talking about like holograms and projections, and as an experienced psychonaut myself and having used psychedelics for over 20 years, a lot of the entity or feeling the presence of something else, a lot of it has been that feeling that it is like a projection. It feels like it's there, but it doesn't feel like it's like a solid physical thing. And I know we've talked to people that do feel like there is a solid physical thing there, but from my experiences, it's more of like a projection style thing.
Well, look, you know more about it than I know the research.
Right.
I know the research I got back in my hand. You know what? Doesn't mean anything.
Right.
You know, it makes me sound impressive. Oh, the guy knows a lot. No, you know. You know.
Well, I mean, gnosis.
I did acid in Central Park in the 70s. Too heavy. I'm sorry. Too heavy. It's different now, I know.
Yeah.
I understand. I know the feeling, but that had too much speed. Now, it is different, but similar. I get it. You know, tell me, do you believe you interacted with an alternate reality?
Okay, so
That means.
Right. So like, I don't know if it was an alternate reality. I think that you can manifest things, and that's what I'm trying to debate in my mind. Is this part of my subconscious and like some sort of Jungian thing happening, or is this an external actual other thing? And when I've meditated in silent darkness, I've had a couple psilocybin experiences where I was shown that this realm is the realm of imagination, and imagination is actually real and maybe exists. Either it exists in your mind and is real there, or it could be some sort of external thing. But I've had other presences show me that, you know, there are other things, and it's given me ideas that, like, outside the box type thinking stuff that I haven't heard anybody talk about that have been profound and things I've done in my own life. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but, like, you know, if I feel like there is something there. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's an energy. I don't know if we're the universe experience in itself and we're giving ourselves breadcrumbs or something like that, I guess I could see. But for me, it does feel like there is something at the heart of it, and I don't know what it is. And so either we're all connected and we're all part of the universe and it's conscious and, you know, almost like a panpsychism and stuff like that, or there is something beyond the veil, and we can't understand it because we can't get outside of our own consciousness. And even when we study other people's consciousness, we don't even know what we're studying, really. So, it's just kind of a conundrum there.
Well, talk about conundrum. We're using our consciousness to explain consciousness. You talk about the ultimate paradox. You know, good luck with that one. It's like the law of identity. There's really no answer. And that's okay. This is consciousness right here. You know,
right.
It's subjective, whatever you interpret it to be. And, you know, how many thousands of scholars, far smarter than me, have written thousands and thousands of papers on it, given lectures, etc., and we still don't know what the hell consciousness is. But we still talk about it, and we're still searching for it. We know it's there, but we have no answer. What does that mean? You talk about that yet. And Nobel Prize laureates, Wigner, Heisenberg, they talk about a field of consciousness over the earth.
Right.
But the thing is, we lose sight of that. Even the theory of relativity, Einstein's theory of relativity, he was out to prove that there's an ether over the earth, kind of like that information field, you see. But he gets it wasn't appropriate for the times, so it wasn't incorporated in unified field theory and whatever.
He was big into Spinoza too, and he actually was kind of a spiritual person. Most people don't realize, not necessarily a religious person.
And he always And you always say science and spirituality come from the same tree. And we lose sight of that. The branch is just, growing in opposite directions at times, it feels. But look, you don't have the answers, no.
And nobody does.
Nobody does. And those who do
are be wary of, yeah.
How many people do? And how many people who say they do? Why? Because of the book, the movie, whatever it is, and that's the way it goes. Okay, self-serving is a business. All right, but we got to be aware of the source, and that's the issue. Who's the real deal? Who's not? And it's easy, of course, to be fooled. How many sociopaths have we run into in our unfortunate lives, and will run into? That's what's wrong with the ills of society. If we could maybe give them this kind of a NDE, I think that's the best, that's the best thing they could have to cure that. If you know, but that's another story. Are you more aware, simply as that, from your experiences with the medications, drugs? Are you simply, do you feel you're more aware? What if that means to you?
So I mean, I was
more
raised
connected.
Oh, right. So I was raised Catholic, and I never felt any connection to Christianity or religion or anything like that. It was just like a nice place, you know. Morals. It's like a moral scaffolding. You know, it's good in that regards. You know, I think I'm a pretty nice person. But in terms of like giving me answers, no. But when I had my first psilocybin experience when I was in high school, I was like, wow, there's more to life. And this is kind of what people were talking about. And I mean, this was a long time ago. This was over 20 years ago. So when that happened, it kind of shifted me. Back then, I still didn't have the reverence or understanding for what's going on, but I just knew that there was more to life. There was more than what meets the eye, and mystical experiences are real. So yeah, it made me more aware of this other thing. So while in day-to-day consciousness, that's why I'm skeptical of anybody that doesn't think along those lines in terms of altered states of consciousness and breaking free of your day-to-day consciousness, because I feel like in day-to-day consciousness, it's very hard. You know, you might get your random UFO sighting or UAP, or you might have your random event or whatever, maybe a synchronicity or something like that. But in terms of truly getting to the mystical side of things, I think it's either something that gets thrust upon you, you know, by chance, or you can induce it via meditation, deep prayer, whatever you want to call it, psychedelics or whatever, and through that way. I do really quick, some Paul in our comments wanted to ask a question. He wanted to know what you thought about the Bigelow competition winner on near-death experiences, if you have a...
I feel very bad I didn't write an essay for it.
I do, too, actually.
I write a book, Life After Death, Analysis of the Evidence. I mean, yeah, I think doesn't mean I'd win, case. But I should have. Yeah. I should have. But anyway, that doesn't matter. What do I think? I hope he does it every year. And, you know, it's a good thing. It spreads the word, makes people more aware of the research that's out there. And the concepts, what's going on, the visionaries, that's wonderful. That should be publicized all over the place. Let people learn from that, and they'll benefit greatly from that. Look, you became more aware, maybe more frustrated in some ways, maybe more sensitive to negative stuff in our world, but being more aware is good and bad, right. I think. But you see, I talk
lonely
to
at times.
People.
Very lonely
yeah.
at times.
It's an integration, evolving process, but that's why you're probably doing what you're doing. And, you know, it has a transpersonal effect on your life. And I think you're charged. You have passion, determination. I do, too, for a different reason. But we're at the same thing. We're headed to that same focal point, in a sense, because we do know there's more. It's like an animal knowing where the predator is miles away without seeing, hearing. We know. And that's a skill sense that should be developed much more so, that sense of knowing, especially when there's danger ahead or negative vibes ahead for survival reasons, physical and mental or otherwise, or trying to figure out who to love. I mean, how many of all of us make that kind of mistake? If we just better understand the psyche of the person, I think just being more aware helps us to resonate with those who call it at the same frequency, whatever it is, that bond, that resonant bond that people say helps heal, that can also modify physical systems at a distance. And we see that at the experimental level, anecdotal level. The knowingness a mother has that the child is injured in the park, running to find that he or she is. It happens all the time and manifests in varying ways. It's just mind-boggling. We know it happens, and that sense of knowing is not cultivated as it should be, and to our benefit. Human potential exists. We see little subtle pieces of it there. Even bioenergy. Techniques and instrumentation becoming much more popular. You know, most of it is garbage, of course. There are some things, however, that are being studied at Harvard that look at chakra, biophotonic activity from the spinal cord, brain. Psychiatrists are very interested in looking at energy, light energy emitted from the body. Call it whatever you wish, but there is a true physical energy, invisible force. I talk about it in my book. We have authorities talking about it in the documentary. Point is, can that be objectified, utilized medically for the diagnosis of psychological illnesses or physical illnesses? You know, when there's a maybe, who knows, whatever disorder, disease, mentally or otherwise, that shifts the chakra, you know, all the colors, the frequency patterns. Hmm. Each of the chakra systems are tied to an endocrine system, and it does give off bioelectric magnetic activity. Maybe that's what the soul is, an electric magnetic soul. You know, who knows, biostatics, whatever. But That's where they're going, you see, because it takes these physicians, psychologists a long time to figure out, oftentimes, what's wrong with the person. You know, especially when it's up here, objectify that. And, so maybe it can be utilized. Chakra disc is much to chakra system. That energy flow, Kundalini. Come on, we don't have the criteria for Kundalini. I've had a Kundalini experience. Everyone has it differently, but I don't want to go into detail. I have talked about it publicly. I write about it, but I became more aware. Don't ask me what happened, but I am aware of a non-dual state. You're aware of a non-dual state?
Sure.
Where, you know what I mean? You see, being aware, your body can be doing one thing. You're aware that your body is doing one thing, but you are doing something else, in a sense.
Right.
You're not your body. But you see, you can't explain that. That we don't have language to explain. You have to experience that, of course, like an NDE. It's a limitation of language which we have, of course, to describe this. But that non-dual state is often achieved in the NDE, the psychoactive state, meditation, deep meditation, especially most experience. That elevates awareness. That even may trigger an area of the brain that allows you to even be more psychic or more spiritual. An actual physical part of the brain or whatever. But it is an evolving process. Sometimes we ourselves have to cultivate it like you did. Or it happens spontaneously. I'm hit by a car, I have an NDE, bada bing. Wow. Ideally, we'd like that slow evolving process to integrate it to our advantage without our socks not being off, knocked off at the same time and suffering with anxiety, what happened to me.
Right.
So that non-dual state of awareness is something that has been described for eons. You know, we lose sight of that, the shamans, the Indians, the non-duality. But materialism suppresses that or inhibits our ability to be realized that our body, in a sense, can be kind of shaking and moving like a kundalini-like effect. And you're somewhere else. You know, yeah, I don't have the language to express to someone who doesn't understand that there is a distinction between your realization that you're doing, your body's doing this, and you're doing something else. You know, you have to be in the shoes of the person. Trying to explain what DMT feels like to someone who's never had it. You know, I'm tempted to do it. I'm doing a documentary. I don't want to screw around with my biochemicals right now. But maybe right after that, the next day after it goes on air.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk more. I know we're going to incorporate you into the project we're working on, which we'll reveal soon. But maybe this is funny. Maurice and I actually were, our first documentary was going to be on near-death experiences. My mom had a traditional near-death experience. She was dead for a while, giving birth to my sister. She saw her deceased father, my other deceased sister, and it was a traditional near-death experience, and that just kind of got me thinking, and I know a couple other people that have, and that was the first documentary we were going to work on. However, we kind of pivoted, and we've talked offline, and we're working on this other thing right now, but either some psychoactive compounds or near-death experiences will probably be our next one, but it's all interesting. I have a question, though, regarding, I know you've studied the brain. When I'm deep into meditation, I'm talking 15, 20 minutes, and I start to get these peripheral, dancing, fluttering lights, almost like butterflies or something along those lines, and I try and follow them, and they kind of just drift around. I know when we had Dr. Rick Strassman on, he was saying that maybe possibly phosphenes, but I don't know. I've talked to other people that have experienced this in meditation too. Do you have any?
It's hard to say because it's hard to understand exactly what you're saying, what you mean.
Right.
The first thing that comes to mind, not that it's the answer, it's like when you're looking at the sky, you see those floaters.
Right.
Well,
this is after
those are proteins.
Right.
But that's likely something else.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I've talked to other people that have experienced this, and it's not that It would be one thing if, for instance, if you stare at the TV and then you close your eyes or look up, you're going to see a rectangle, right, or whatever. This is after I'm deep into meditation, and it's not any shape or object. And in fact, what I'm looking at kind of morphs around and it takes different shapes of light. And then sometimes I've even seen it like going into my chest or emanating out of my chest. This is very deep into meditation, and I don't know if it's something like hypnagogic or something along those lines, or if it's something kind of like what we were talking about with like entities and psychoactive compounds. This is something like external or some way of, you know, you're talking about like biophotons, and I know we glow, two human beings glow. We can't see it, but we glow. So I don't know if it has something to do with something like that either.
I have no answer. I wish I did. I meditate.
You stumped them, man.
Yeah, you stumped me. Yeah, and I can't be egocentric to say, dude, just to act like I have an answer. I find that very interesting. I've heard that too. This one time I was deep in meditation. I try to do that twice a day, and all of a sudden I see like a rectangular, cartoonish, a rectangle face, two eyes, little eyes, nose, slipped her mouth, and never saw it again. But it left such an impression on me. Why did I see it at that particular time?
Right.
Is it hypnagogic? Maybe. But why the consistency? If it was hypnagogic, maybe it would be different. Ask a biologist, they'll give you a diatribe about a biological, rationale for that, of course, retinal image, electric activity, and you're going into a theta state, maybe with deeper relaxation, who knows? Or you talk to someone else who's in more Eastern medicine, and they'll say, that's one way you can clean up your chakra systems. Try to imagine that, that white light from above. Seen that kind of depicted in ancient art. You kind of forget that. Why is that? That biophotonic light energy, gets back to Rudy Shield. He goes to quadrupole radiation from these quantum amplifiers are beaming down into our brain, interacting, with the caudate nucleus. Okay, that's the answer. Everybody go home, right? Goodbye. No more UAP. Solved, right? The thing is, it can get so left field in some respects and be completely wrong or completely right. Some truth probably in between, but direct that white energy light into the chakras for each color, clear it up, whiten it, allow the energy to flow. You get that kind of feedback from people who will advocate. That's how you clean out those blocks, so to speak, that we often talk about, whether it's in the solar plexus at that level or more north or south. Hard to know exactly where it is. But when you have a Kundalini event, the cork comes out of the bottle. When you do, I think, DMT, the cork comes out of the bottle. When you see a UAP, whatever that figurative point means, you become a little lit. You want more. You got a teaspoon full. You got another gallon, a million gallons.
You're initiated into the mysteries of life.
Yeah. It's like the universe is seeing itself through your eyes. You get a little bit more piece of that. The universe is seeing itself through your eyes. We're all one. It gets esoteric, and see, that's my left brain. I science. I got a kid. I read almanacs. I play chess. What do I do with all this? You get it? And now I'm
the greatest
books about
thinkers. Consciousness. The greatest thinkers of all time have also balanced it out with philosophy and spirituality. And a lot of the top minds have always thought that there's something else going on that they can't explain. I mean, even Tesla, I know he was really out there, but he always thought he was getting like downloads and stuff like that. And he was able to do these thought experiments in his mind and then bring them into physical reality. I mean, stuff like that. I don't think that that's an accident. I think that that's a potential that human beings have that we can tap into. I don't necessarily even think it's for gifted people. I think it's something that we can all tap into if we really want to. So
there you go. It gets back to what we're talking about, maybe an aspect of brain function that can tap into an information field, because people like him do claim, it wasn't my idea. Einstein said the theory of relativity came to me in a dream. The person who developed the periodic table. So the same thing. Yeah. How about that the mathematician, the genius, is still today using his mathematical theories and formulas that he devised, I forget one, how many, you know, decades ago.
Right.
He never learned math. He never learned math.
I know, you see what?
It's at the brain. Come on, you know, come on. So it can't be. So where information field? You know, and a lot of those kind of examples. But yeah, these great minds, after they realize it's by studying science for so long, they learn a heck of a lot, whether for whatever century it's in. And then they say, okay, so what? And they realize there's more to life. That science knowledge base it does not address at all.
Right.
But they search for answers. That's maybe why they're scientists or philosophers or whoever. Right. I think being human, you know, we all have that tendency. Some, of course, much more than others. And why? You know, maybe that's a built-in spirituality mechanism we have. Some don't give a hoot, and some I can't understand why people don't even talk about this all the time and play, you know, bingo on their phones for 6 hours. I don't get it. Everybody, I don't even want to go there. I'm wrong to say that. You say I'm wrong to say that.
No,
I'm
it's not fine. Debunking
it. You know, but I think that's the purpose of being alive, to evolve spiritually. I really do. And they're evolving at their pace. They're not wrong. Everybody's right. As long as they don't hurt other people. They're all at their own pace.
I don't think you can bring that.
They can't have anymore. Yeah. They can't have anymore.
I don't think you can bring that to somebody. I think it just has to, you know, for me, I had a spiritual experience or awakening like 5 years ago. I'm not going to go into the story, but I've talked about it a million times on the podcast. But just having that experience, that's what catapulted me into going on this knowledge quest, doing this podcast, being interested in these topics. Cause before that I was just going through the motions, and I always had, you know, I've been using psychedelics, like I said, for 20 plus years, and I've had mystical experiences and I've known that that's there, but I never really got into it. I never really delved deep into it. So I think you're right that everybody evolves at their own pace. And sometimes you need an event. Sometimes I'm sure there's people that never have that event, but who knows? Maybe that's part of like reincarnation too. You know, maybe you have to go through that at some point. I don't know. Let's wrap it up here, 'cause I do want to do a Patreon segment with you. And then we got to get to some other business, but, everybody should go check out bobdavisspeaks.com. I have the link down below. Check out his three books. And he has a documentary coming up. And what's that website? It's consciousness.info.
Consciousnessfilm.info.
Go check that. Looks great. The trailer looks amazing. If you want to contribute to the project and help him get it going, please do so. And
that same goes for your documentary too.
Yeah.
I don't want to hog the airwaves. I mean,
no.
You for that effort. It's hard.
Sponsorship. Well, you know, ours is a little bit more of a passion project, a grassroots kind of a thing, but we definitely understand how hard it is to make these things and to get them going and stuff like that. But we'll announce all our stuff soon. We're going to get to that. But I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all your info, and you've been interested in this for a while, and you know, you have a good background to talk about these kinds of things. And yeah, we really appreciate it. And we'll have you definitely back on in the future. There's so many things that we could get to that we didn't get to, that we will get to next time we have you on. But yeah, we're going to do a Patreon segment with them right now. So if anybody is interested, go to patreon.com/mindescapepodcast. For just $2 a month, you'll get exclusive guest episodes and segments, which we're about to do. Tons of stuff on there. You know, we got Rick Strassman, Randall Carlson, you know, you name it. If we've had a guest on our show, we've probably done a Patreon with them. So go check that out. Talking about connectedness in the universe, go check out our social media platform, indrasweb.org. This is the social media platform we created to connect open minds. So if you want to speculate, hypothesize, theorize, doing all the stuff that we do on this podcast, head on over there, set up a profile. It is free. And we are working on getting that in the App Store. And if anybody is interested, we do have a large and a medium left. We're going to still do the competition. If anybody wants to enter, all you have to do is take a screenshot, go to Apple Podcasts, take a screenshot of a 5-star review that you've left for us, and then send it to mindescapepodcast@gmail.com. That will enter you to win. Again, we only have larges and mediums left, but if you're interested, please enter. And yeah, thank you so much, Bob. This was a very fun conversation. And again, look forward to your documentary and, you know, what you do in the future, and look forward to working with you on a couple things.
Oh, I greatly appreciate it. I hope I do have the opportunity to be on with both of you gentlemen. And you are an amazing interview. I really want to mention that. I'm sure your listeners, viewers realize that, but you get it. And I'm very impressed with your insight for whatever reason. And I thank you, both of you, for what you do.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and let Maurice speak. No, I'm just joking. But we love everybody. And if you're interested in Let Maurice Speak, we do have Let Maurice Speak t-shirts on our merch store, not to plug anything. But I just want to say thank you, Bob, for the kind words. I you know, I don't look at myself like that. I'm just trying to learn and grow. And I think asking interesting questions for me is important to get interesting answers from our interviewees. So it's not necessarily me, it's you, you know. So while I might be interested in these topics and I might ask good questions, it's I appreciate the answers even more, and I want to get that extra little bit out of that person. So I appreciate you pointing that out. And
I appreciate you having extremely good guests on your show. Rick Strassman, and I'm not talking about, you know, in the past, like Rick Strassman and Abby, and among many others. It's very credible, legitimate show. So thank you.
Well, we didn't start out that way, but we have definitely trended.
We started out very woo
and kind of we're in this
space
where I think there is a true fringe and we are seeking that. But yeah, I don't believe a lot of stuff that I believed when we first started, but I think that's part of growing. So, but I just want to say, I appreciate it. I appreciate everything you do. I have a couple of your books loaded up, ready to go on my Kindle. So I'm ready to do that. And let's do this. So I really appreciate it. And
I do too.
Let's wrap it up here, and we'll get to our Patreon. I love everybody. Stay safe out there, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.